22 on Radio Yorkshire. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to a festive edition of the FL 72 here on Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges and I'm going to be with you for the next hour in the company of, well, the man, the legend. He's dressed in a Santa's outfit. It's Mr. Tom Carndoff, the editor, of course, of the FL 72, who has put this bumper special together. I can't believe it. Normally, I just get one scrap of paper from him with all the segments for the show. But today, I've got 2 pages. 2 pages. I can't quite believe it. It's only taken him until Christmas to get his act together. But we got loads on the show. That's 2 pages. Would suggest we've got Yorkshire news. We're discussing the wider news from the Football League. We've got good days, bad days. Tom's original feature. We've got his second feature, which isn't even on here. The Owen Coyle talking fast feature, whatever that's called. Transfer gossip. Who's the best shopping mall Santa from the Football League? And we're talking best Christmas merchandise as well. This is the Christmas FL 72. Lad's been working hard. You've been doing well, haven't you?
Thank you. Thank you. Getting everything ready for the festive edition.
I didn't know we had 2 pages. You gave me before, and then I just went into the other studio for a second, and I picked it up, and the other bit fell on the floor. I was like, what's that? Is he printing it twice? And it looks like there's more.
Hello.
There's one. It's 2 bits
it's
of paper.
It's the Christmas special.
Unbelievable.
I've
been working hard. You're all right.
Yeah, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for that. Good. Thanks for that wonderful intro as ever.
Christmas has brought something out of you.
I'm wearing a Christmas t-shirt, but
underneath a jumper.
Yeah, I was going to go.
Hardly constitutes wearing
gonna
a Christmas
go for
t-shirt.
The Christmas jumper, but it's ridiculous.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I do.
That surprises me.
Bought one last year.
You're a student, though, aren't you? You were a student, or you are kind of still.
Kind of master. It doesn't count really, does it?
No, you've grown up. You're growing up, lad. You're growing up. Although, if you would have seen Tom Carndoff at 2:30 a.m. last Tuesday / Wednesday morning, the Christmas do, you would say that maybe he's not grown up.
Naughty
boy.
We all had good fun. We all had good fun.
Yes, good fun was had. Right, we shall crack on with this festive edition because we've got 2 bits of paper to get through, of course. 6 sections and a lot of bullet points. Can't quite believe it. Tom is doing well.
Bullet point everything.
Yeah, you do. Again, it's a student coming out of you. But top of the tree in Yorkshire news is David Wagner. And there was, I was hearing yesterday on Radio Yorkshire, particularly on Afternoons with Andy Lawson, a bit of a worried tone throughout the show that Wolfsburg were about to steal David Wagner away and take him to the Bundesliga. But we've had a statement today from the club, Dean Hoyle and David Wagner both having their say. And he's not going anywhere.
Big. It's huge, isn't it? That I think when the Ingolstadt kind of interest came in, you can maybe understand him staying at Huddersfield. But Wolfsburg, like I said before, that, you know, when we talk German football, when you talk Bundesliga often, you know, it's just Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund are the two names mentioned. But Wolfsburg, probably, you know, up there, they've past couple of seasons haven't been what they'd hoped. But before that, they came second in the Bundesliga. They're still a very big club, a very good side. So it's huge, huge that he's turned it down. And I think it just shows kind of his commitment to the project that he's bought into at Huddersfield, that he's willing to, you know, turn down a club like Wolfsburg to stay and see what he can do.
Yeah, it's a very big statement of intent. And I suppose it is good that the club and David Wagner have come out very quickly, really, before this busy Christmas period and have put everything to bed.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's not a surprise that he is going to be, you know, someone in demand. He's already been, you know, like I said, with Ingolstadt, that was the most recent one. Wolfsburg, now, I think it's going to go on for as long as he's really at Huddersfield and as long as they're doing well. So, you know, it's a bit of an early Christmas present, 5 days early for them to turn around and say, well, no, he's staying. And I suppose, you know, that shows not just his commitment to kind of the club, but especially building that team going into a January transfer window where, you know, it's difficult for a club like Huddersfield who, you know, aren't the biggest, with no disrespect to them, but, you know, they're up there. They've kind of got that how do you put that balance between high flying?
I said with a Leeds swagger, wasn't it, that?
Yeah, but, well, you know, it's you know, they're doing very well, but when you compare them to, like, your Newcastles, your Sheffield Wednesdays, your Leeds, the clubs like that who are up there, who are kind of one, you know, or in bigger cities. But back to my original point, that when they're going into it, they've got kind of talented players who are going to get, who are, you know, going to be of interest to clubs in the Championship and Premier League. So, you know, I think that kind of signals that they are willing to keep the best players and, you know, probably add to their squad in January as they look to, you know, mount a serious promotion push.
Yeah, and they obviously still in their fourth place in the table, which is pretty fantastic. Yeah. Really, given they've been written off maybe a couple of times, that the bubble has burst and all that. We discussed it on this show. You hear it quite a lot. Has the bubble burst? But quite clearly, fourth place for Huddersfield Town at the start of the season. The fans are in dreamland, really, and the fact that there is so much interest in the manager, potentially this, you know, could be another kick on the fact that he has turned down a huge club.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say kind of rewind 12 months ago, maybe a bit before Wagner came, what, say the end of October 2015, I don't think they could ever imagine that you say, well, next Christmas you'll be playoffs, your manager will be wanted by a massive German club. You'd probably be laughed out the building. So, yeah, it's great to see. I know that they were top of the Championship for a bit, and they've dropped off, you know, a few places, but they're still fourth, they're still flying, and they've gone away to clubs that are difficult to get results, like Norwich on Friday, like Newcastle, and they've got the wins. So it's long past a fluke. It really is. They are a team who are capable of promotion in the Championship, I think, now.
Yeah, for us, it would be very nice in this moment, maybe we could just stop the league right now with the top six looking how it is. So Huddersfield's at fourth, Leeds United fifth, and Sheffield Wednesday sixth. At the end of the season, that would make
it's going well, isn't it?
Very interesting playoffs.
I said to Andy Lawson about half an hour ago, saying that if Rotherham weren't so bad, we could probably form our own Yorkshire breakaway league with how well the Yorkshire teams are doing across the three divisions. But yeah, that is, you know, good viewing, I think. You know, talked about Huddersfield, but you mentioned it to Leeds as well. Okay, Wednesday fans would probably be expecting top six, but Huddersfield and Leeds fans, it's kind of dreamland for them at the moment to actually be in the playoffs, especially for a club like Huddersfield, who for so long have been kind of fighting for survival, or they've been at the wrong end of the table. Now, completely turned it round. They've got a manager who they've kind of built this project around. You know, the Wagner Revolution was kind of the term that they used, and that one change has signalled kind of a different attitude, a different outlook, and it's really paying off for them. And, you know, at this rate, you can't really see it dropping off, and you can now seriously see them as a playoff team come May.
Yeah, talk to me about how you see this playoff picture now. Do you see any of those three teams maybe going on to challenge Brighton and Newcastle for A, the title, and B, the automatic spots?
It's difficult because Newcastle and Brighton are just so convincing in their performances, and it shows with kind of the positions they're in and the points tally they've already got. Huddersfield, I think it's difficult. They've been a bit inconsistent in recent weeks. I think they'll, you know, they will now stay playoffs, but I don't know if they could push top two. Wednesday as well, I think it's pretty similar. I know they are top six, but for the team that they've got, and going off the back of last season, I think they might be a bit disappointed in a way just to be sixth. And Leeds, I know they've kind of been doing well recently, but, you know, losses to Newcastle, lost to Brighton as well. They've struggled against kind of those top two teams. I know they beat Reading, but I just don't think there's kind of real squad depth there to challenge the top two. So I could see all three teams now potentially finishing in the top six, but I think top two is going to be a bit of a push, bit of a big ask for any of them to do.
And you mentioned Rotherham there, of course, beaten by Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend. Rotherham now, we talked many times about where they go, but realistically, performances under Paul Warne have been better. Do they give them the job until the end of the season, or they seem convinced they are going to get someone in? Mm. But would you Would you maybe give it him? Because he seems like a different personality. He seems like someone that's a bit of a motivator. He's texting the players. Yeah. He's doing different things. He's thinking outside of the box, really, than what a conventional manager would, probably because he knows he's only in it for a short amount of time. But would you stick with him right now? They've got 10 points. They're 12 away from Burton in 21st.
It's difficult. It really is difficult. Like you said, the performances have improved. The results... Okay, I think what he's been in charge of four, he's only won the one. But I think the other three, they've only, you know, they've been very narrow margins that they have lost by.
Yeah, 2-1 defeat to Burton, so they beat QPR. 2-1 defeat to Fulham, 1-0 the weekend, 94th minute goal against the top six team.
That's got to be gutting as well. Sheffield Wednesday, I'm sure they would have snapped your hand off for a point before the game. You know, disappointing. The performances have got better, but I think at this point, when we're halfway through the season, we're at Christmas now, you can't really settle for performances. The results are needed. Whether they keep worn on and they kind of gamble on, you know, the performances have been improving, so with that in the long term, the results will come in. Or they look for someone maybe more experienced. It's just that they're running out of time. You know, you mentioned it there, they're 12 points off Burton already. That gap is only going to keep increasing if they're not getting the results that they need. So it's a difficult position whether... You kind of just accept that relegation is going to happen. I know the fans probably wouldn't want to see it, but unless they can get a Neil Warnock type manager to come in and change it, because obviously Warnock's at Cardiff, it's going to be really difficult to see them turn it round. It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to kind of say for definite what's going to happen.
Yeah, we shall see. Paul Warne, though, has been speaking to Miller's players after Miller's player after that game at the weekend.
Yeah, it was a cruel way. It was a tight game, game of few chances. I thought we had a couple of good chances first half, you know, a couple second half. It was a game of set pieces, really. I've never been in a game where there's so many free kicks. It was non-contact football. And I said the same to the fourth about 10 times, and it was for both teams. I'm not saying there was any bias or anything, there wasn't. It was just a non-contact game, and I said, look, he's done so many free kicks early doors, he's going to have to keep that standard up. Got a bit frustrated, I suppose, with the whole way the game was going. I mean, I'm happy to slow the game down away from home, and kept saying to the lads, and I said to them at half-time, you know, you go into it 60, 70 minutes and we're still in the game, we've got a right chance. And obviously... I don't know why the goal was ruled out first half. I've watched it back, and I'm not even watching it back with biased eyes. I'm trying to be as neutral as I can, thinking, what is it? And I cannot see what he's blown for. I can't. So that's hugely disappointing. It'd be nice to go in 1-0, obviously. And then with the penalty late on, there is contact. He has won the penalty as opposed to Woody fouling him. And I know what football's like. And any contact in this game today, even a bit of wind, would get you a free kick. So... In fairness to Pricey, went the right way, and it was just a calamity of errors, really. Pricey kicked it quite early, kicked it down the wrong wing. They won it back, and I'm not blaming Pricey. He's been brilliant for me today, and they all have. And it's difficult for me because I go in the change rooms after and I look at them, and they're all absolutely devoed. It's the worst I've ever seen them. And I just said to him, like, I'm really proud of them. The last four games, they've given me everything they've got. So as a leader of that group of men, I'm a proud man. And I said, you know, I think in all these four games, we've won one, we've lost three, which I don't say is a good record, but we've never lost by more than one goal. And we've always been really competitive. And I'm saying, look, I know you're going to be disappointed from the defeat, but don't be disappointed by your effort. Don't be disappointed about your performances.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Tell you what, that is exactly the sentiment for you today. Don't be disappointed by your effort you put into this show.
I'm devoed, to be honest. I'm devoed, absolutely devoed.
Yeah, we were just discussing Paul Warne and his interviews that he's giving to the press. he's, for me, a bit like the cool teacher, the young teacher, not necessarily cool teacher.
He's trying to speak kid language to get down with the kids.
I'm managing some 23-year-old players, so I'm going to speak like a 23-year-old. I'm devoed.
Oh, devoed. Absolutely devoed. As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, no. That alone, for me, would be a bit of a, you know, we were going to give you the job until you used the word devoed in a serious interview. But, oh, well.
Serious interview. He was speaking to Miller's player.
All right. Put your claws away.
Let's move on quickly. Apologies to Miller's Play. It's a very good subscription service if you're a Rotherham United fan. Bradford City then. In fact, no, let's talk about Barnsley first before we move down. They a cracking win for them against Cardiff. You keep talking about Neil Warnock all the time. It's doing my head in. But he's not the saviour. He's a very naughty boy. Beaten by Barnsley 4-3 the weekend, which is an excellent result for Paul Heckingbottom's side.
Fantastic result. You know, Barnsley are kind of where they are now. I'm sure spoke about Huddersfield fans kind of snapping their hands off the position there. I'm sure Barnsley would be as well. They're well clear of the relegation zone. They're doing well. I know they're mid-table, but
yeah, above Aston Villa, above Aston on Villa. Christmas Day, they're going to be above Aston Villa.
I think that's kind of the benchmark for a lot of teams, wasn't it? The Aston Villa and Newcastle. I think we kind of accepted Newcastle run away, but you know, above Aston Villa, you're doing
and
well.
And they're 2 points away from Norwich City.
That's, well, when you put it like that, then it really is good.
All day long.
So then what? They're 5 points off playoffs, am I right, in maths?
Well, they're on 31, and Sheffield Wednesday are on 37.
So they're 6 points off. They're not that far off. A couple of wins away. You know, whether they can seriously mount a top six push off the back of it, it's interesting.
I'd say it'd be interesting to see what Barnsley do in the transfer window, because for me, their business tends to be excellent. They get in players that maybe you would say that are maybe a level above Barnsley, being realistic, but they seem to be able to get them in, and the manager seems to be able to gel them instantly into the team, and a lot of the players hit the ground running, and they all fit into the way they play, so that the scouting system for me works very well. Of course, they've been boosted by various bits of money, not sure how far it is in terms of getting things like the John Stones money and stuff like that, but potentially, you know, Barnsley could have a little bit to play with, and maybe iron that, like you're saying, 6 points off the player place, and think maybe we might push the budget a little bit.
I was going to say, it's difficult with that kind of... I think from fifth, you could kind of drag Leeds into there. I know they've been in pretty good form, but they have lost games recently, where Birmingham, Fulham, Norwich, Derby, Wednesday, Leeds, they're all a bit hit and miss at the moment, you know.
Leeds, really? They've lost one in five? Two in ten?
Two in ten.
And eight, seven of those are wins?
I know, it's improbable. Obviously, as a Leeds fan, I'm delighted. But what I mean is that a lot of those teams in and around the playoffs are dropping points at times, and that's maybe where Barnsley could capitalise. I think that's kind of how they've got to view it, that if they can kind of sneak up week by week, you know, even if it's a draw and a couple of them drop points, which they have been. You know, you look at kind of Birmingham, I know with the row at sacking, it was a bit of a shock, but they've been a bit win-lose it in recent weeks. So you can kind of mount points and close that gap time off, you know, week after week even. Then I think that's going to have to be their route into the playoffs if they are to get it. But like you said, do they gamble in January? Do they think, well, we can realistically get there? But I don't know how to put it. Do they need to add? Do they kind of want to upset the balance of players that they've already got? Because Heckingbottom can really get the best out of the group that he's got together. They've got good individual players who, as a group, are working really well, especially kind of carrying that momentum over from League One. I think it's fair to say they're not going to go down. They're already 11 points clear of the relegation zone, and you know, you're going to keep picking up points as the season goes on. So it's difficult to say, but I think they could push top six. I don't know if they could break in, but I think they could push it, and I think that's kind of the view they've got to have going into that January transfer window.
I definitely agree. In fact, let's hear from one of the Barnsley players right now. And in fact, one of their very shrewd signings that they made, Tom Bradshaw, speaking to Barnsley player.
Well, Tom, first of all, congratulations. What an ending to a match.
Yeah, it was... I think we were disappointed that we let our initial 3-1 lead slip. But that's what Cardiff are good at. They're good at set pieces. They're good at being direct, and they've got the right personnel for it. And like I said, they made us pay with two goals to get to 3-3. But I think we showed unbelievable character to get back on the front foot and go and get the win. And like I said, that's what we did.
I mean, it's going pretty well for Barnsley this season, considering the club came up from League One last season and seems to have settled really well in the Championship.
Yeah, we've got a really good group of lads. There's a lot of talented lads, not just in the starting 11, but on the bench, and lads that unfortunately haven't made the bench there. There's talent all through the squad. We're a very young squad, I think the youngest in the division. And I think that we're actually showing some, some great character for the age of the squad. And like I said, to pick up 3 wins out of 4 in the championships, it's a brilliant return.
And you've managed to get 3 goals already since joining the club from Walsall. So how do you feel about your form?
Yeah, I mean, obviously as a striker, I mean, I want to get more goals. Obviously, the more the better. But if I can contribute to the team winning, which I felt I have done in the past sort of 3 or 4 weeks, I'm happy with that. And if we keep putting points on the board, then I think the gaff will be pleased as well.
Yeah, how pleased are you with the move you made from Walsall?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what I wanted to do first and foremost was playing the championship, get experience in the championship, and it's a brilliant club to come to is Barnsley. So I'd say it's a great squad of players around me, and it's I'd say it's a very, very talented group of lads.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There you go, told you. Great bunch of lads at Barnsley, great bunch. So that's Barnsley done. Let's drop down into League One. Bradford City, they are 4th, following a 1-0 draw with Walsall at the weekend. Sheffield United, they're now 2nd and away victory against Coventry. Both Yorkshire sides, just like in the Championship, going well in League One.
Yeah, are going very well, especially Sheffield United to kind of bounce back from that slow start that they had. For Bradford, I think it's been a bit kind of disappointing that they've been a bit hit and miss in recent weeks. I know they've got a couple of draws in their last few results, but then you look at Sheffield United, they've kind of been similar. I think it was, 2 wins in a row now, but before that, I think they had 2 losses. So it's good to see that both Yorkshire teams are really kind of having a bit of a blip at times, but they can bounce back. And they're still in very strong positions, especially Sheffield United, especially Bradford. I know there's a bit of a gap forming between the top two and the teams in the playoffs, or the top three, I should say, but still very good position to be in. And, you know, at Christmas, going into a January window, they've both got targets to get. It's good and it's positive.
Yeah, what a game in prospect on Boxing Day. Bradford City at home against Scunthorpe United, top of the table. Bradford can do, well, everybody a favour by closing the gap there, but that would be a real statement of intent if, after, as you said, a couple of draws and a defeat now for Bradford, not won in their last 3 games, if they can get a result at home to Graham Alexander's side, it shows what they could be capable of in the second half of the season.
Yeah, definitely, and like you said, it'll kind of do a favour for Sheffield United as well, I think, who are 3 points off top now, yeah. So it'd be big for them, but for Bradford as well, it would not just show that they can really compete with the very top team in the league, but that they are a genuine top two side who can push for automatic promotion. Scunthorpe, not an easy team to play home or away, really. They've only lost, one in the league in a fair few weeks anyway. I think they're already out the FA Cup, so they can kind of solely put their focus into their league campaign. But what a signal and what a message that would be if they can get the win against the Scunthorpe side, who, like I said, who just seem unstoppable at times. Some weeks they are a very good side, but then so are Bradford, so should be a very, very entertaining game.
Yeah, Sheffield United host rock bottom Oldham on Boxing Day, so a very good chance for the Blades to go joint top of the table. Now heading towards, of course, this Christmas period, the Bantams player has been catching up with the Bradford man after that game, that draw with Walsall at the weekend, with Romain Vincelot.
So, Romain, an entertaining game today, chances at both ends. Can you just get your thoughts on that draw today?
A bit frustrated. We tried our best to get the 3 points. It's a weird one because I don't know why we couldn't get the 3 points, because we gave everything we had. We had a great desire, a bit craziness second half, really end to end, really looking for the 3 points, even 1-1. 1 point we were not happy with it, so just going for it, and a bit frustrated, but it's good spirit, really looking for the win. That's what we do.
Was it important to get the equaliser quite quickly after going behind?
Yeah, because it was a bit strange. We were pushing to win the game, and they got a goal from a shot, so a bit surprised by it. and but all the lads again showed we're strong, really strong mentally, because we came back straight away. So it's really good for the future. We know that whatever happens in the game, we can come back. And at Wimbledon, we were able to get the 3 points. Not today, but we keep doing everything we can, which is the main thing, the desire.
And the substitution at half-time to three at the back, how was that, adjusting to that, certainly at the start of the second period? Obviously, it's not a formation that we've used too greatly in the defence.
Yeah, well, it's you have to try things differently when something is not working. You have to try something else. So we tried. I was three at the back, and me pushing a little bit in possession, or even defensively to push a bit on the number 10. We didn't get a goal from it, but we've tried hard, and it can be good as well to have a different system to get something out of a game, and to not just play the same system all the time. And I think we a bit unlucky, but that's the football.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go, Rob and Vince Lott of Bradford City there talking about that game against Walsall at the weekend. Now, to a quick line on Doncaster. They beat Grimsby at the weekend. A strong travelling support from Grimsby. But Donny still third in the table on joint level on points with Carlisle in second. And that's 2 points away from Plymouth, who are top of the table. So it's hotting up at the top of League Two.
It is. It's, I said this most weeks, I think Doncaster, of course, will be aiming for promotion. Good winter bounce back with as well against, you know, never easy to play a team who have such a big following as Grimsby did on Saturday. I think, 4,000 was it that did go to that game. But it's a good chance to get a result against a team, Notts County, who just can't buy a win at the moment. I think their only win in recent times has come against, was it Boreham Wood, I think, in the FA Cup. So it's been difficult for them, but regardless, I think for Doncaster, they've kind of bounced back well from the defeat against Plymouth. Like you said before, that Blackpool defeat, but can't really look too much into that one. So going well at the top end of the league, and they really want to be going up automatically, because I'm sure they don't want to kind of have to go through the route of the League Two playoffs if they're going to go back and kind of work their way back up to the Championship, which I'm sure they'd want to be back into.
Yep, I'm backing Donny to go on and win the league in the second half of the season. But that brings us to the end of Yorkshire News. Next, we're going to discuss the wider news from the Football League. We've got good days, bad days as well. We've got some Christmas features to pack in as well. Lots to come on the FL72. We'll be back with you next.
With BMW twin power turbo engines and near perfect 50-50 weight distribution, the BMW 1 Series delivers all the poise, power and precision you expect from a BMW. And now the 5-door BMW 118 iM Sport is available with monthly rentals from just £239. Visit your local BMW centre. The BMW 1 Series. Pure BMW. £4,269 initial rental, 36-month hire agreement, subject to status and availability for new vehicles ordered by 31st of December and registered by 31st of March 2017. UK only, guarantees may be required. Excess mileage and other conditions apply when you return the vehicle. BMW Finance.
Christmas is fast approaching. Scratching your head for the perfect present for your horse racing enthusiast loved one? Well, we've got the answer. A Go Racing in Yorkshire season ticket gets you entry to 187 days racing for just £350. That's less than £2 a meeting. Bargain! With only 300 available, you'll need to move like Frankel to make your loved one's Christmas. So go and grab a Go Racing in Yorkshire season ticket today at goracing.co.uk.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, with you on the FL72 for another 27 minutes or so.
Not to be precise.
But we should kick on, because we've got lots to get through, because I'm cantering at the usual pace But in fact, we need to speed up
because Tom's got
Christmas features, so I need to get a bit of pace to my game. let's talk about the rest of this news from the Football League. John Joe Shelvey, 5-game ban, £100,000 fine for the incident in Newcastle's game with Wolves. Right? Wrong?
It's difficult to say. I think the minimum ban is 5 games. I was reading into when you're charged with the offence that he's been charged with. I think a rule brought in 2013, 2014, I think it was, basically said, well, it's a 5-game minimum. So I don't think it's sounding like they are going to bump it up, but it's a big ban, and it's a big fine, and it's going to be a big loss for Newcastle as well, because he is probably, you know, I wouldn't say the best, but definitely one of the best players in this league. He's influential in that Newcastle team who, you know, Brighton are hot on their tail. And next up, I think there's been word of the appeal, things like that. But if it does start against Sheffield Wednesday, that ban is going to be a big loss in, you know, what is going to be a big game for Newcastle.
Yeah, a huge loss, no doubt about that. Gary Rowett, of course, last week's shock dismissal by Birmingham, immediately, well, pretty much replaced by Gianfranco Zola. What is going on?
I don't know. I think it's whenever you get new owners, you seem to get similar changes like this, but it just seems a ridiculous decision to make where you think of where Birmingham were when Rowett took over. They were in a much worse position. He's really got the best out of the players that he's had. They've sold key players along the way, and yet they're still in and about the playoff places. They're doing very well. I just don't see what justifies sacking him and replacing him with Zola when they already had a manager who, in my opinion, was capable of winning them promotion.
I don't know. Do you think that Birmingham could have gone up this season, given all the competition in front of them?
Well, I think when you're in the playoffs, pretty much, it's a lottery, really, isn't it?
Regardless, but in the playoffs.
But you know what I mean? If they could get into that playoffs, then they've got every chance of getting there. It's not exactly like they're well out of it and they've got no chance of getting in. But you think about how well he has done so far
there's
with
no
that
doubt
team.
About that. I just think Birmingham, it's just what it's being around that position, but then having a sense of realism from the ownership that they're not going to, it's going to find it very difficult for me to break into the top six this season. They did. Last season, they were similar kind of season, punching above their weight. It tailed off towards the end. Lack of squad depth, lack of quality, but he's getting the best out of the players week in, week out. Can Zola do the same? I don't think he can.
I don't think he can. I just think it really is a needless change, and they must know that it's going to annoy the supporters, that it's going to receive very negative reception because of how popular Rowett was, because of the job he was doing at Birmingham. It just seems a massively unnecessary change to make when, you know, a manager like Rowett is there who is more than good enough to succeed with that kind of group of players. And for Rowett, I don't really know where he's going to end up, whether you kind of wait for you know, another championship job to come available, because I don't think he'd want the Rotherham job. I don't think anyone wants the Rotherham job. It just seems massively unnecessary. I can't really see Zola improving on the work that Rowett's done.
I tend to agree with you there. We'll see where Gary Rowett ends up. I'm sure there'll be plenty of jobs that are coming up available, but I'm sure a nice Christmas break is in order for him. Birmingham, though, they've signed one of the players brought in by Rowett today. Burnley's Lukas Jutkovic has signed £1 million coming in. He's done well so far this season. Had plenty of injuries over the last couple of years, struggled a little bit. Obviously not Premier League standard. But a very good championship striker.
You're going to mention Joey Barton as well. But, yes.
Come on.
Come on
home, Joe.
He's already home. He's there.
Come on, Joe.
He's done. It's happened. All right, we'll move on. 6 goals in 17 games. Of course, during his loan spell at Birmingham, you know, a good, very good kind of addition to make. If he's scoring goals, you may as well make it permanent. And, you know, to show that they're doing this before the transfer window's kind of even opened. And it shows kind of how eager they are, and maybe they're trying to just, you know, win the fans back over. But in terms of the signing itself, you can't really complain. He's done a job, so they may as well keep him on. And you know, you hope if you're a Birmingham fan, he's gonna keep scoring.
Now tell me about this next thing that you put here. It says Bradford City tweet after Wigan Shambles match reporting against Aston Villa. shambles match reporting.
Yeah, we discussed this on last week's show, me and Derek.
Yeah, but you're calling somebody's match reporting, and your sentence doesn't even make sense.
I think I missed the shambolic
match reporting.
Yeah,
maybe.
Whatever. But the point is still
how
the same.
How can you criticise
it was
someone's...
awful. It was awful. And then carrying on from that, Bradford did another embarrassing tweet from the official Bradford City account. It just makes you question why teams are doing this.
Go on, what was it?
So it's obviously a marketing idea. They've gone, oh, we need to push some Christmas stock before Christmas, blah, blah. That's fair enough. No problem with that. But they went for just simply, mum- what can we get dad for Xmas? Son, a signed hashtag BCAFC, ball or shirt. Daughter, tour of VP. Mum, where from? And then they put the Bradford shop link below it. And it is awful. It's just awful. There you go, for the format, for you to see exactly what I'm on about, Sam, that they wrote it exactly like that in a like conversational style. And everyone is just really, really not bought into this kind of the idea. I think it sounded much better than it was going to be. And no.
I'll tell you what, if the commercial people at Bradford City are listening, we can turn that round.
Yeah.
Turn into a little advert. So that sounds like a nice radio script for me. Give you a very good deal if you're listening. Get involved. Bradford City, just drop me an email. Owen Coyle, of course, a hero of this show. Absolute heartbreak.
The mascot, I think.
They're back in the bottom three, which is unbelievable. We thought Blackburn were on the rise, but it's not happening. George Evans, a 91st-minute winner for Reading at the weekend. But they are back in the bottom three. Now three defeats in a row, and they've not won in four.
Oh, what a surprise.
After they were going so well, they had two wins in a row a few weeks ago.
I know, and it got Owen Coyle a Manager of the Month nomination. Let's not forget that he got nominated for Manager of the Month for two wins. But, yeah, heartbreak, back into the bottom three. It's not going well. If only we knew what Owen had to say about the performance.
I'm sure we do, and I'm sure we'll be able to wrap it up into a 30-second feature.
Count the words. Count the words.
The possession the boy was in, they probably score from there. But we pick ourselves up again, got some wonderful chances. And, you know, the second goal, as I said, there's three or four different things that should have happened within that. And then, obviously, the last one, one more. And that's about you've got to understand. You've got to make sure that from the platform at 2-2, it's to win the game, not to make sure that you're giving anything away. And Dara's trying to keep the ball in, then he's out of the game, and they've a long throw down the side, and we find ourselves man for man. So, you know, the sooner you learn those lessons, the better. Because, again, we've showed an unbelievable goal threat today. So it's really hard to take to think you're getting no points from that game.
What? I'll tell you what, I do actually want to go back and count that.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's incredible. You can't criticise his post-match interviews because they really are, really are good.
You know, sometimes when you hear the, in press conferences where you hear people typing,
you just hear
what you that,
it drowns out, Owen Coyle speaking.
You just hear the sound of a keyboard or a laptop being thrown. I can't keep up with this anymore.
Whenever reporters are told they're going to Blackburn, they just kind of put their head down and avoid it.
So there we go. That was Tom's second feature that he invented for the show. Have you got a name for it? The Owen Coyle Countdown?
30-second Coyle. Gone for
the 30-second
countdown coil. That works.
Oh, there
countdown
you go. Alliteration always wins in radio, and we'll do the first ever, the original, the baby,
the feature
next. Good days, bad days. So we'll be back in a few months' time on the FL72.
It's Christmas Mega Week. EuroMillions are making 10 guaranteed UK millionaires who will also win a luxury winter get together in the Alps. Get your tickets for Tuesday and Friday's events. You may need to clear a path to the hot tub, though. Nicer problems to have. EuroMillions. Game-specific rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
The colossal Christmas cracker of a sale is on now at JYSK. Up to 30% off all wardrobes, up to 50% off all Christmas articles, and up to 50% off all mattresses, duvets and pillows, excluding Pristar articles. Hurry while stocks last. Visit your local JYSK store at Clifton Moor Centre, York. And shop online at jysk.co.uk. JYSK, Scandinavian sleeping and living.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hey, hey,
are, the first child of Tom's radio dream.
The feature.
I don't know if that works.
The feature.
The feature. It's Good Days, Bad Days. It was invented by Tom as a way of telling people who had a good day and who had a bad day from the previous weekend of sport, or maybe just generally in the news. I'm sure you'll kind of shoehorn some kind of Twitter rant into it.
It's not that bad, actually, this week.
But it's who's had a good day from the Championship, League One and League Two. This is where we eke some time back in the show, Tom, so off you go.
Right, so Championship will start off there as ever. Good day. Mentioned them already. Barnsley, 4-3 win over Cardiff City. Always good to get an away result, score four goals away, coming back 3-1, it went 3-3, and then that last minute winner. And a bad day for Bristol City. Three losses on the bounce now after a 2-1 home loss to Preston North End to League One. Now, my keyboard broke and I've put this on the thing, so we're now in capitals. I couldn't get it off capitals, but I won't shout. So it's fine, but it's a good day for AFC Wimbledon. Four goals in the second half as they beat Port Vale 4-0. On a Saturday, and it was bad for Bury.
Is this you shouting?
This is. I don't want to shout. I can shout. I'm not going
to
shout.
I heard you shouting at some people.
Right, but anyway, we've run out of time on the feature. Bad for Bury. A 3-2 loss to Oxford United. It makes it 8 losses in a row. Haven't won since the 27th of September against MK Dons. League 2. Good day for Cheltenham. A 2-1 away win over Morecambe ends a 4-game losing streak. It's a bad day for Newport County. 3-1 loss to Crawley Town leaves them bottom of the league with no win in 5. Good days, bad days for this week. With no shouting but capitals.
Excellent. Very well done, Tom. The original feature is still the best. There is no doubt about that. Still to come on the show, we've actually reached the halfway point.
Hey,
45 minutes
for time,
in, so we've got 15 minutes to go. So we should be very quick. And still to come, we have who is the best championship shopping mall Santa? Yep, and the best Christmas merchandise. And if we've got time, we'll squeeze in some transfer gossip as well. We'll be back in a few moments' time on the FL 72.
Join me, Darren Harper, for The Breakfast Show. Good morning, Yorkshire, every weekday morning from 6:30 here on Radio Yorkshire, where we try to bring people together, like Rachel Riley and Nick Hewer, who didn't know they were going to be on our show together.
Morning, Darren. Morning, Derek. Morning, Nick.
Good morning, Rachel.
Oh, it's been a long time, Nick.
Indeed. About 7 o'clock last night, over.
Plus, where Derek asked the most Scottish question ever.
How much can you drink of this stuff that's sort of...
There we go. There's the question from the Scotsman. How much of this can I drink?
Well, you personally will know how much you can drink.
More of that 6:30 weekdays.
Who are you going to call? Darren Harper. Good morning, Yorkshire. On Radio Yorkshire. From Wednesday to United, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
So anyway, loves the sound effect, doesn't he, that Darren Harper? He will be back tomorrow morning with Good Morning Yorkshire from 6:30 a.m. And it is Why Spotty Day. You'll find out the winner of the Yorkshire Sports Personality of the Year 2016. Do you want to know who's won?
I'm going to have to wait, aren't I? I'm going to have to wait like everyone else.
So I'm not going to tell you. But it's exciting. What a competition it's been. And much better than that one that was on the TV. Maybe next year we'll get it on the telly. We'll
try.
We'll see. We should crack on. We've got Christmas features to fit in right now, which means this.
You better watch out. You better not cry.
It's Bublé. You better
not. I thought you left it for me to start.
It's Bublé.
Bit of crooning.
It's Bublé. Yeah. Bublé, like once a year in December, Bublé's allowed to come out of the cupboard he lives in to sing Christmas songs. I thought, well, we're going to talk Christmas, so you need Bublé going on the background. I'm going to talk Santa as well.
Oh, you've got a future in production. You could have found us an instrumental. Come on.
We're talking Santa.
It's only a 2 minute change. We got to crack on.
Go.
Christmas shopping mall Santa. This we're deciding who the championship managers would make the best Santa.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Shopping mall Santa.
Yeah. And explain to me why you. It says in one corner, in the opposite corner, in another corner, in the fourth corner.
Because I thought,
the worst,
well,
boxing match ever. Yeah, you're the worst Michael Buffer of all time.
Well, I thought, you know, in one corner, in the opposite corner, I thought, well, we've got four candidates, so just four corners. So there you go. Just
in
going, punching each other. Well, they shouldn't, it's Christmas.
First, in the first corner, we've got Steve Bruce. Why should Steve Bruce be a shopping mall Santa?
Well, Aston Villa's Steve Bruce because he's cuddly and lovely. He's got a soft voice, and I reckon he's quite an inviting character. So I think he'd make quite a good shopping mall Santa, okay. And that's why he's on the list as our first candidate in one corner. And then in the opposite corner,
I'm going to score these for your pitch. For
a
them.
Favourite, a favourite, an FL72 favourite, Blackburn Rovers' Owen Coyle. Doesn't really look like Santa, but he'll take on any ridiculous request and come up with an excuse as to why it can be done. So, you know, as a Santa, I think that's quite good when kids are just throwing ideas at you left, right, centre.
Yeah, the kids have to speak really fast to him. Yeah, he speaks really fast to the kids.
He speaks really fast to them, and they're just left confused as, okay, thank you, Santa. What did Santa say to you, sweetie? No idea. Anyway, in the other corner, Ipswich Town's Mick McCarthy. Whenever there's a manager feature, I think it's fair that Mick McCarthy is always mentioned. He's already the Football League USA president,
yep.
But Mick is a warm-hearted character who brings joy to all. The lines to see this shopping mall Santa would be short, as Mick would probably keep the requests short and simple.
And forthright.
So, you know, and then in the fourth corner, QPR's Ian Holloway went for, because he's a bubbly personality. He'd bring laughter to the children who come to see him. They probably say things that the kids don't quite understand, but he's still quite an inviting character, I imagine. So four, I'd say, very strong contenders that I've put to be shopping mall Santas.
It's the worst feature ever. What have you done? I've been trying to score them. I know it was my idea.
I know it was your idea.
But I wanted to do one of those Facebook Live polls where people can vote and
I'm not that technical, I'm afraid. Not that 10, it's just have to be us.
I've given Steve Bruce 7 out of 10, Owen Coyle 2 out of 10, Mick McCarthy 7.5 out of 10. Mick McCarthy and Ian Holloway 6.
Nice.
So it's Mick McCarthy.
Mick McCarthy again. Mick McCarthy's won everything. Mick McCarthy's president, Santa. He's just brilliant, isn't he, Mick? Can't not love Mick.
If we're still on air next Christmas.
It's looking increasingly unlikely.
Yeah, just give me the one sheet of paper.
From Wednesday to United, the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Right, we've got one more Christmas feature to do. It's the best Christmas merchandise, which was a challenge actually set, Tom, a while ago, because if you remember many moons ago, probably 5 shows ago, Mansfield Town had a mobility scooter. And I challenge you to get the commercial director of Mansfield Town on the show to explain why they had a mobility scooter, because you were scoffing at the idea. I thought it was a good one, but you failed.
I know. It's not something that Mansfield Town are that bothered.
But what's
talking.
He doing now, the commercial director of Mansfield? Well, I said to you before, if it was the commercial director of Liverpool or Leeds United or a big club, I can understand him being busy. Commercial director of Mansfield tonight.
Steve Evans,
what's he doing?
Is at Mansfield, so you can't talk down Mansfield. As that is Steve Evans' club. But, yeah, the mobility scooter. I kind of thought of this. I remembered about Mansfield Town mobility scooter, laughed a bit, and then thought, well, I'm going to scout the Football League, as many Football League clubs as I can, to find the worst Christmas merchandise. In fact, 2 of them are from the same club. But it still shows how bad they are. Right. And yeah, see what Christmas merchandise clubs are willing to ship. Anything they can just put a club logo on and sell it for £25 to make a bit of cash.
Okay, so what else have we got? I'm losing interest in this feature rapidly.
Obviously, one, Mansfield Town mobility scooter, no explanation needed. 2 was the Luton Town Christmas elf jumper. So it's orange with a Luton Town crest on it. Elves aren't orange to start with.
Right,
it's just weird. So they sell it for £25, but
it is £25.
The description was, be the envy of your friends with this stunning Luton Town Christmas jumper complete with bells. I wasn't going to put it in until I saw that description and thought, oh, My, what an awful, awful description, as in, oh, I wish I was that cool. Look at him with his Luton Town Christmas jumper. No, I don't think you're going to be the envy of anyone. And then the next two, I said the same club. We're very harsh on them, but oh well. Blackburn Rovers sell two things that caught my attention. I'll start with...
Do they have fans?
I don't know. Apparently so, because they've got a club shop that sells everything, including this. Well, the first one we'll go for the Rovers Apple USB connector. And it's a USB mobile phone charger with the Blackburn... It's just a normal white USB charger.
With the logo on it.
With the Blackburn Rovers logo at the top. What's right with that? It's 10 quid.
So?
How much is Blackburn Rovers...
And how much is an official normal charger of the same without a logo on? Probably about a tenner.
Well, no.
So why not?
I bought mine from
one of those just continually says it's incompatible with iPhones.
It works fine, and that was a pound, and that's just a plain white thing. I can't believe they're shipping it out as for £7.50, £10, whatever. I can't believe it. And then
final one, come on,
the Rovers.
We've got enough time to actually do transfer gossip.
The Rovers
football stuff.
Compendium. I don't know how you say that. Is it complete box game set? And it's a wooden. It's wooden games. In a box, so a wooden box with the Blackburn Rovers crest on it, and the games included in the set are cribbage. I don't know what that is. Backgammon, poker, chess, and dominoes, and they're selling that for 25 quid. They're shipping that out for 25 quid as well. Unbelievable.
Excellent.
That's me ranting
well
about.
Done. But to
club
be fair,
merchandise.
To be fair, PlayStations and Xboxes have not yet reached Blackburn.
When the final whistle blows, the football phone-up kicks off.
Who plays a better football, Parkinson's or McCall's side?
My man in the moon can answer that question. My man in the moon might get hit by some of Parkinson's team's balls.
I hardly know where to begin, to be honest with you, Derek. It was shocking.
The man is clueless. You know, his recruitment over the summer has been nothing short of abysmal. His tactics are even worse. It was like having a dummy stood on the sidelines.
It took me about 80 minutes to try and work out what they were playing.
I said they weren't fit to wear the shirt. Nobody was, because we were in a new pink away kit today. Nobody's fit to wear that.
They won't fear us, and we definitely won't fear them. And let's just hope that it's a proper Yorkshire derby that's played in the right spirit.
Join me, Derek Clark, every Saturday evening from 5:30 as we hear from managers, reporters and you, the fans, at the key games involving Yorkshire clubs. It's a football phone-up on Radio Yorkshire. FL 72 on
Radio Yorkshire. Are back on the FL 72. I've still got my head in my hands at Tom's Christmas features. Absolutely awful.
Festive.
Let's finish off while we've got time
Scrooge.
By talking some proper football. Of course, the January transfer window is nearly upon us, so the transfer rumours are in full swing, as Tom's script says. So who is going to be making what moves in January, Tom?
Start off with, as ever, since the Jamie Vardy kind of story sensation, non-league, as Tom Feeney, I'm sure, will say and approve of, is kind of a popular destination, I think, for clubs to look for players at. And two of those clubs, Sheffield Wednesday and Crystal Palace in the Premier League. But Sheffield Wednesday are reportedly set to beat Crystal Palace to the signing of Hensford Town's Cohen Bramall. Defender or midfielder slash defender joined Hensford in May 2016, only 20 years of age, but has been described as an exciting left-sided player. So he's obviously been scouted, or he must be, you know, a good player. Obviously, I'm not going to sit and pretend to be an expert on him, but the fact that he's got Premier League Championship interest kind of shows that, I don't know if they think he's ready to make the immediate step up, but, you know, the talent is there and it's got him recognised, and by the sounds of it, he will be making a move to Sheffield Wednesday in January.
Interesting. Of course, it wouldn't be January without Neil Warnock being involved and signing probably about 12 strikers, let's face it. But who's he looking for?
Callum Patterson, Hearts fullback.
Is he a striker?
No, he's not.
He's not
a fullback.
Then.
He's not interested, of course not. But yeah, Cardiff are apparently, or they hope to beat off other Championship rivals to the signing of Hearts fullback Callum Patterson. I think he's been linked with a few Championship clubs in the summer especially, but no move actually came through. So by the sounds of it, the amount of links that are coming out of it does sound like it's going to happen at one stage, and it could be this window, and he could be moving with Neil Warnock to Cardiff.
Interesting. Elsewhere, Charlie Taylor.
It wouldn't be a transfer section without a Leeds United player leaving.
Who's the latest Premier League side linked with him?
Well, West Brom were linked with Charlie Taylor previously, but now Premier League Crystal Palace, of course, missing out on Cohen Bramall, by the sounds of it, will go for Charlie Taylor from Leeds United, although they will have to pay £6 million for a player who I think's out of contract. Not long left on his Leeds deal, but £6 million quid if they want to buy him from the club.
And finally, Wolves are looking to re-sign one of their former players.
Bakary Sakho, part of the Dicko Afobe Sakho annoyingly catchy chant when they had those forward three. But yeah, popular figure, kind of fallen down the pecking order a bit at Palace. He's not really been too much of a regular feature at times since he made the move, but Wolves set to make an attempt to re-sign him in the January window. I'm sure that'll be a huge boost for them, as they think they need it at the moment. They really are struggling.
Indeed. Tom, thank you very much. Thank you for your contribution throughout the year. Merry Christmas to you.
I'll try and get some better features.
Yeah, come up with some better features for next time. Those Christmas ones were truly awful. Apologies if you heard that. It wasn't my fault. It was completely Tom's. But thanks for listening this year. We'll be back next year for the EFL 72. Coming next is the evening show with Tom. But first, we're going to have the news with Derek in a few moments' time.